Redacted Media presents, in association with Ghost Head Films, the Filmological Society. On today's episode, we continue our countdown of the BBC's 100 Greatest Comedies of All Time. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Scholes, Chad Halverson, and Candace Osler.
Welcome to another edition of the Filmological Society, the countdown show, where we are counting down the top 100 comedies of all time, according to the BBC. Today's film, it was a good one.
It was the best.
It was so good. It was
number 62 on the list, one of our newer movies.
It should be lower.
2014's What We Do in the Shadows, directed by Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi.
Geniuses.
With me today, as always, for the countdown show, I have Candace Lauren Osler. Say hello, Candace.
Oh, good. It's night. Hi. Hi, I'm here.
And the other voice that you'll hear laughing and laughing is Chad Lawrence Halverson.
Leave me to do my dark bidding on the internet. What are you bidding on? I'm bidding on a table.
So this film was a film, it came out of New Zealand. And it is, I believe, Chad, our second mockumentary.
Yep.
Yeah, what was our first?
It's been so long.
Be our third one then.
Oh, okay.
Waiting for Guffman.
For Guffman, okay.
Waiting for Guffman. So this is our third mockumentary. This is the first time you both saw this film, right? Correct?
For me, yeah. Yep. A yawning Chad face says yes.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Remember, Chad, we do not have video on this.
This podcast. We're all in the same room. That's how I knew that you were yawning.
So first time. So I had seen it once before. I actually own the Blu-ray of it. But it sounds like, and we're going to jump the gun to this because it kind of came out of the intro, you both liked it.
So quotable.
Oh, everything, every moment, every person. Even if they come on screen and you think you're going to hate them, hold on 5 minutes because maybe you won't. And that happened to me a few times.
I mean, even what Deacon was a Nazi vampire, and he's still likable.
He was so good. They were all so good.
Yeah. Did you know Germany lost that war? I don't know if you.
It is not easy being a vampire, and it's also not easy being a Nazi. So it is definitely not easy being a vampire.
This was one of those movies it's timeless. And there are spinoffs now. There's the television show that's on FXX, What We Do in the Shadows, about a different group of vampires who are flatmates.
Mm-hmm. Didn't I see, too, there's rumored that we're werewolves or werewolves?
The werewolf spinoff is another rumor.
Oh, really?
There's also the Wellington... Wellington Paranormal, which is a TV show in New Zealand that is based on this world, I guess. Like the police
the two police officers?
Really? Yep.
Like that precinct?
Yep, that precinct is the first researching the paranormal.
Is like the first season or first episode them trying to find out where the... Wait. No, nothing happened to those officers.
No, nothing happened
to them. My bad.
I think they're just starting their second season of that, but it's not available here in the States. My understanding, it's only available in New Zealand, maybe Australia. I don't know.
Maybe we'll have to move to New Zealand then.
Maybe.
I've been looking for a reason.
Hey, we've got people in Australia. You just come meet Sam and Noel and Lukey and all our friends over there. Isaac Love.
So this film, directed by Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi, I don't know much about Taika Waititi, but it sounds like he's going to be an up-and-comer. I think he's got what it takes.
Being his first film at 20, he's a good young chap. I think he'll make something of himself one day.
Maybe. I mean, hopefully. Yeah, he is. He's become obviously very prolific now. He started out doing shorts, and including this. This was an original short. You can find it online. It looks like something that we would do. I mean, it's very basic. It's kind of just them talking. It's not a lot of wide shots, but it's them doing some of the basic jokes that they did here. Same three actors in the short, just being themselves, like Deacon and all that. But had you guys seen the film 2007 Eagle versus Shark?
No.
Okay.
That was his first full-length film that he directed.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
So I think Jermaine Clement was in that as
Jermaine
well.
Jermaine Clement is in that. And then what about some of his other films? So then he did. He did Hunt for the Wilder People. Have you guys
seen
that?
The
Wilder People. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Genius. Another. Oh, that's heart wrenching.
Yes. He did Thor Ragnarok. I think that's what he's probably most well known for now.
Yeah.
Jojo Rabbit came out this year.
Yes. Oh. I mean, he was most well known for the Thor until, Jojo was just, that was a masterpiece. That was something else.
Well, and he, and just the you know, one aspect that was talked about with Thor Ragnarok were those two shorts that were done. The Team Thor shorts, where Thor has a flatmate.
A roommate.
He wrote and directed both of those. So Team Daryl and Team Thor.
Who played his flatmate?
Daryl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
So then Jojo Rabbit came out this year. It's a 2019 film. And he has the new Thor coming out as
Love and Thunder. Yeah.
Yep. Love and Thunder.
Did you guys, or are you Rick and Morty fans? Because he was Gloody in one of the episodes. I think it was the third episode of this new season.
I haven't seen the new season yet. I know that Jermaine was in an episode too, though.
Last season he was, but Watiti is he's Gloody. He's an app developer. Watiti.
Well, he is. I don't know when he's on screen, he's just like your eyes just go to him. Like it's he's got all the little funny mannerisms, all the little things when he's on screen. It's almost a shame that he has to direct, that he has so much talent directing, because I would watch him on screen.
Yeah. I mean, and it's very rare that you find somebody that not only can direct a scene, but also direct themselves and know what they're doing. Like, that's the one thing I always hated. Like, I never liked directing myself in scenes. I'd rather have somebody do it for me, because I'm my own worst critic, and B, I just don't have that. I don't have that ability.
I know what you mean. I'd rather be directing myself. That's probably. I imagine I'd be better. You know, you gentlemen. Sorry, just trying to insult people in an inside joke. And only we would know, because only we know we've worked together as much as we have.
I was just thinking, like, hey, wait a minute, I directed.
Yeah, exactly. I was just waiting for your facial expression to change.
What?
You jerk.
My nightmare
I'm
is
I'm not
true.
A good director.
And also, we forgot to give him shout-outs for the lovable Korg.
Korg, yep. Yeah, he's the rock monster in Thor. The voice. And he is also in Green Lantern.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, the bad one?
Is he like an assistant or
something? The bad one. No, he is like Ryan Reynolds' buddy in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, there's an interview.
I'm not going to go back and watch it just to see him, because I don't like that film. But that's interesting to know.
they both, Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi, were doing an interview about a movie they're working on together. And there was some other actors, and they're like, yeah, I think this is the first time we've ever worked together. We've always, like, ran in the same circles. Like, wait, well, weren't you guys in Green Lantern together? And both kind of like, what, Green what? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I'm getting a little PTSD.
Yeah. So the other director, someone who works often with Taika Waititi, is Jemaine Clement. Probably knows
one half
of the third most famous folk rock band out of New Zealand.
Really?
That's what they bill themselves as.
That's one of their jokes. Yeah.
Oh.
They're the third.
Have you ever listened to Flight of the Conchords?
Oh gosh, yes. Long ago. It's been years.
Two seasons of some of the best, funniest stuff I've seen, and it's something that Taika Waititi, he directed many of the episodes as well. So,
mm-hmm.
All this New Zealand connection. And what's funny is...
Well, I was going to say they got Rhys Darby from...
Rhys Darby.
Flight of the Conchords to be... Yep. Rhys Darby, sorry. Yep. From...
Flight and...
The show yep. to be the Anton. Lead werewolf, the alpha male.
Yeah.
Hey, we're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Swearwolves.
And what's always surprising to me is how a lot of this group... Because of Lord of the Rings, a lot of... this little group were kind of discovered through that. Like, there's a story of, like, Jemaine Clement and Brett
McKenzie.
McKenzie were playing in a bar during the Lord of the Rings filming, and some of the studio producers and whatnot saw them and started to talk to them about doing more, kind of brought them all up. So, filming on location. Powerful stuff. All right, so
I
go ahead.
I was going to say I love everything this movie has and all its little connections, because it just makes it better.
I will say, because Taika was the first one on screen, and because how amazing I know he is, it caused me to be critical whenever someone came on screen. And I was really analyzing their performances and wondering, like, okay, is this a dry character, or are they just a friend who was given an opportunity to act on screen? And with that in mind, I want to know, because I did you have any characters, any actors that surprised you? Like, they came on screen and you wrote them off, and then they surprised you.
I'd say the guy who played Peter.
Oh, Peter?
Peter, yeah?
Yeah.
Ben Franchi?
Yeah, Peter was the guy that was, the young guy that was just turned, right?
No, that was Nick, Corey Gonzalez-McKeon. Yeah.
Nick, no, Peter's the
Peter
old.
Peter's the old one.
Yeah, Peter's the Nosferatu one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter.
I mean, Nick. Poor Peter.
Poor Peter.
I was wondering how for Jackie, at least, it would all work out in the end for her, because she was trying so hard.
I felt so bad for her. Oh.
And Deacon was such an asshole.
Well, and then Nick's going around making everybody a vampire.
I know. Yeah. Just telling, telling the darn vampire hunters. Oh, yeah. Peter. Yeah, bringing it back to Peter.
Well, I just love that part. Where Nick is turned, where he, like, escapes the house and he's running, and all of a sudden Peter just pops up and...
Oh, yes! That was hilarious!
Oh, Peter got him.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then,
poor guy.
And then I thought that was the end of him. And it was more of a good riddance situation for me, because he came on screen and I just thought he was a bad actor. Like, one of the stunt guys that they... Because I've been working on a lot of sets, I've been meeting a lot. And not to say stunt people can't act. Absolutely not. There are good...
But let's be real. I'm kidding.
It's not
why
they became
a virgin when we met. Well, yeah, I was 12.
Yeah, I was 12.
Jackie.
So... Thank you. Okay, yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the acting. So you have the three main actors, Jermaine Clement, Taika Waititi, and then Johnny Bruh. So now each one of them kind of took a different, you know, then along with Ben Frensham, who was Peter, was the Nosferatu. But each one kind of took like a classical,
a different cinematic archetype of vampire. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have the Nosferatu, the oldest version. You have the Taika Waititi, who is more like the Interview with a Vampire, kind of.
Well, gentleman. I think both Taika and Jermaine were that more Interview with a Vampire.
Jermaine was trying to be the more like 19...
He's like Ivan the Terrible meets Dracula.
Yeah, kind of like the classic Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Got it.
And then, and then Deacon was more like the current, like, Edward.
He was just selling his wares and walked up to a castle.
He was Queen of the Damned era. I'd say he's more Queen of the Damned. And then Corey would be our modern, Nick, Corey Gonzalez-Macura would be our modern day idiot who's telling everyone doesn't know what vampire hunters are or werewolves.
I did like... Nick, you know, in the beginning of the third act where he's like, you know, being a vampire, I'm over it. Like, all these rules and all the things he could and couldn't do.
Can I eat chips? Chips are my favorite food.
Yeah, and he vomits blood.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So on the Blu-ray, so we can talk a little bit about this now. Like, all of the practical effects, okay? Because this is a small budget film. Right, so they don't have
them floating in the air on the walls
fighting.
And stuff.
So good. So there is a good like BTS of on the Blu-ray that I watched, and just all the practicing, like setting people on fire, setting Peter on fire and stuff. It was so neat. Like the there's a stunt in it where Deacon they're chasing Nick around the house because they're trying to eat him.
I love that shot so much.
And Deacon, if he has a backpack on, all of a sudden a hand comes out of the backpack. That was all practical.
It was amazing. Yeah.
It was all well done. It's all staged. Yeah. Because then he throws it off and Deacon's just crawling out of the backpack.
Jermaine Clement, Vladislav, with the whole not being able to transform completely and just being the cat with the man face.
With the face.
I'll never look at another cat
the same way again.
Well, just the blood. So, so there was obviously a blood hose on Nick when he's puking out the blood.
Yes.
They planted a blood hose on the woman that when Taika Waititi, Viago, is putting on his bib.
And he hits the
jugular.
The jugular just starts spraying.
Trying to lap it up as it's coming out.
And then they did a callback later.
Yes. So
I like how he said he's like, I messed up and whatever, but she seemed happy before she died.
Yeah,
so
she was really
seemed
into
like a good
it
date.
And excited that a boy wanted to take her out, and he was like asking her about herself and being really kind.
I want to travel the world.
Yeah.
So let's talk. There is one character here that we haven't talked about so far, and that's Stu.
Stu.
So here's a little tidbit about Stu. Now, before, Candace, you had said, you know, looking what actors are friends and all that. Stu was actually there for tech support.
Left field. He came out of left field.
And
he
was not supposed to act in front of it, but they decided, hey, let's put Stu in.
And they made him the most popular part.
Yeah.
He was the through line. Like he kept the story going.
He kept everybody together. Yeah.
Yeah. He was definitely the glue character.
The touchstone.
Yep.
If you
and
will.
Yeah. So I mean that's why like throughout like he's very rigid. He's very. You can tell he's not an actor.
Hello, my name's Stu. I'm here for technical support.
And his name in the film is Stu, and his actual name is Stu.
Yeah, Stuart Rutherford.
Well, and it's great because his character, he's not really bothered by any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody seems, you know, immediately gravitates towards him.
He's
and
so
I just
casual.
Yeah.
And he was brought on Because he was Nick's best friend. And so Nick's like, this is my best mate. Because we're best mates, we don't eat our mates. And he knows. And then they show him revealing it to him. Like, if you notice that we moved our tennis matches to nighttime, and I don't go out to lunch with you anymore. I'm a vampire. And like, Stu was just
all right.
Straight the entire time. I couldn't tell if he was disappointed, sad, or if that's just always how he is, even when he's happy.
Well, and even when he was a werewolf, like, it didn't really faze him that much.
I know, he's like, I guess I'm a werewolf now. Check out my scars.
Which, honestly, was the best ending, like, lichens and vampires being friends at the end.
I stood up and cheered when Stu came, like, he appeared, or, like, when he ran off, when they did the playback of what actually happened, and he, like, escaped from the emergency medics. Like, oh my gosh, I was so happy.
I did see that, Stu becoming a werewolf a mile away, but, like, I assumed they were just going to be mad at each other or something was going to, whatever, but, like, the fact that
that
was the bridge, between the two social groups.
So that whole, like, the two scenes with the werewolves, you know, the one scene where they're kind of, like, taunting them, the vampires are taunting the werewolves, and... And then the second scene where they're all trying to chain themselves up to trees.
Themselves up to the trees.
And, like, as they start changing, like, take off your clothes if you don't want to.
Why did you wear those pants, mate? That doesn't have an elastic band. That's completely going to tear off of you.
Yeah. They think about, like, all those little things that we all bitch about when we watch these movies. Yes. Like, well, when the Hulk gets big, why do his pants get big and they don't rip off? Like... It's little jokes like that make it so much better.
And then why did you get a combination lock? Why didn't you get a key lock? I lost the key. Oh, why didn't you think it? Just his coordinating with everyone and, like, being not just, like, a physically strong leader, alpha male, but, like, an intelligent one who's trying to help think ahead for everyone else he's trying to lead.
There's a reason why he was an alpha male. Yeah. Like,
he's intelligent.
Or an alpha in general. Yeah.
Show me the way you can be with you. I saw you, breaks my heart, but what can I do? It is life, I know I lost you for good.
All right, so let's before we get into more quotes and parts and all that, Chad?
Sure.
This one should be pretty quick, I think, because it's a mockumentary, so it's a little bit harder, but and we've kind of talked a little bit about it with Stu already, so...
Mm-hmm. Just speak really fast.
Yeah, I'm not even going to time you this time, Chad. I'm confident that you'll be able to get it done.
Okay. So... What We Do in the Shadows is a mockumentary that follows Viago, Vladislav, Deacon, and Peter. They're all flatmates in Wellington, New Zealand. And really, it's a day-to-day documentary on how they live their lives as vampires. And it just shows the, you know, all the stuff that you don't see in vampire movies. You see, it's think of The Office, but with vampires. Like, that's essentially what it is. And... You know, we get to know these characters. We get to know that they're, you know, some are a couple hundred years old, some are like, you know, 700 years old, and some are babies. Each night they have to eat. So they show one night where they invite a few people over for a dinner party, and they obviously end up eating them. But one of them, Nick. Gets bitten by Peter and gets turned into a vampire. And the second act of the movie is just really like the group getting used to having a young guy in their group. That's when Stu comes in and helps them learn about the internet and stuff like that. And then as the second act goes, Nick isn't too happy about being a vampire. Like, we talked about, he can't eat his favorite food, chips, anymore, and he tries to, and he vomits blood profusely. So several months later, this whole documentary is a build-up for this masquerade The Unholy Masquerade. It's this annual vampire dead, like all a bunch of dead things come up and hang out. And
yep. Zombies,
they go zombies, witches,
creatures.
And they have a good time every year. So they get there, but Nick, and at this point, Nick was kicked out of the house because Peter died from sunlight because Nick was telling everybody that he was a vampire and a vampire hunter found him. So Nick gets kicked out. He still ends up going to this party and he brings Stu. And then all the friends are like, okay, this isn't, we can't do this. We got to get him out of here. Because everybody can now tell that there's like a live human being at a dead masquerade. So they end up running away, running into the werewolves who are just about to turn because it's a full moon. And all of a sudden they start running from the werewolves. Nick gets caught. He gets bitten or he gets mauled. And then we find out at the end that Stu, you're right. Stu gets mauled by werewolves. And in the end, he becomes a werewolf himself, and the group invites him in, and Stu brings along his new werewolf buddies. And at the end, it's just like this little house party with vampires and werewolves getting together, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria and all that. And that's really the end. It's a very sweet ending,
I think. Stu pulls through. Well done. That's about 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it's... what you said, oh, it's going to be short. It's like, no, it's not.
Well, it's...
It's not, because it's never been short.
Filled with love.
Yeah, absolutely. So this film budgeted... any guesses on what the budget of this film was?
I'm going to guess 5 to 10 million. I'm gonna guess 4. Because New Zealand loves giving out money for films and stuff. They really do.
Especially for filmmakers who come from their country and are good at what they do. Good job.
Yeah. Tyler.
And any guesses,
Well, you said it was low budget, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say 1 to 2 million.
$1.6 million.
Ha-ha!
Wow. It's way lower.
Box office, though, and this being an indie film and... The initial box office only $6.9 million.
Only,
but it's obviously made a lot of money since.
It's like six times its budget. So
yep.
Gross in the USA is 3.5.
Yeah, it won a lot of awards too for best film and a lot of prestigious film festivals. So it was, It was a good film. I feel we could talk about this film and just bring up all the different scenes and it would just be really funny. It would just be hilarious.
Absolutely. And little tidbits like, did you know that at the end of the very end of the credits there's a little hypnotic session?
Oh, with Vladislav?
Yes.
Vlad.
Yeah.
What do you guys think, like, of them walking around Wellington, like, well, first of all, having to get ready, and, like, yeah, one of the bad things about vampires is there's no
mirrors.
They
can't look at mirrors.
So, you know, and just hand drawing of what they look like.
But like, they all have their own artistic abilities, so they're all different, and, like, some of the pictures aren't that great, but it's all that they have.
Yes. Oh, gosh, and what was, okay, Taika's servant was Philip? Was it Philip?
Yes.
He remembered that Tycho was trying to find his love, so when he finally connects with him, when he's 90, like, did you ever find
her? You promised to turn me.
Yes, and now I'm 90 years old.
Take a bad connection here. Get in bed. Well, yeah, and then, yeah.
And then he ends up with his love.
Which seemed odd, just a 90-year-old woman with somebody like four times
Pauline.
Her age.
Wait, no, Pauline was the evil beast. Sorry.
Yeah. The beast.
Oh.
So,
but he turns her anyway.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, well, two things. One, you both would recommend this film highly.
Oh, no, never. Correct. Never. I don't want people to know about it so I can enjoy it more.
And then two, that you will both be more than willing to watch this movie again and again.
I think I'm going to watch it after we're done recording here because I enjoyed it.
It's my
so
new
much.
Favorite holiday movie.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad. And it being a new year, I'm glad that you guys were able to get something already.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, again, this is the power of this show, right? You guys had never seen this film before. I had, but it wasn't well known. It was one of those kind of underground films.
Yeah, or something that people don't really hold high revere for. Like, I had heard of it, but I had never taken the time to watch it. And had I not, been on this podcast, I don't know if I would have. So thank you, you guys, for forcing me to watch some pretty cool cinema.
I had not heard of it, and a friend of mine got me the Blu-ray for Christmas, I think. And, yeah, I watched it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what a good mockumentary can do.
Yes.
This is a good mockumentary. There's so
and
many
as
bad
a filmmaker,
ones.
As a filmmaker, it is really inspiring. Like, I would encourage any other aspiring filmmakers to please go out, get What We Do in the Shadows or find it on, you know, Netflix, Amazon Prime, whatever, and watch it because it's a great study in how you can create a good film and you don't necessarily have to have an immense budget. It's still, you know, for your average Joe, it's a lot of money, but it still shows how effective you can be just whether or not you have really good quality film.
And it makes sense to me that this is, I'm agreeing with you 100%, Candace. And you do something like this where it's vampires, right? So there's no daylight, so you can, you know, the lighting and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be so precise. You don't need everything lit up. Basically, there was a light in front of the camera that was following him around, and then some small lights around the house. But there wasn't any scene that you would say, "Oh, that was so well lit; I can see everything."
Yeah. They weren't focusing so much on the lighting. It was more
correct.
About the content of the film, and they wanted it to seem natural. So they're not going to hide any lights anywhere and color them differently.
Well, and plus,
it's a mockumentary,
just everyday life.
Yeah, you're gonna shoot it like it.
Yeah, they're not
as
gonna.
Is.
They're not gonna try to paint with the lights.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
The point where he's after he got blood all over him because he hit her jugular, and he fixes his microphone.
Uh-huh.
Just that awkward like. And he smiles at the camera.
Yes.
I really like the fact that there were some green screen work, but for the most part, this film was all practical effects.
When they argue over the dishes and they both lift up in the air.
Uh-huh.
And how long did they say the dishes had been sitting there waiting for him to do them?
Like 5 years.
Was it five? Okay.
Yeah.
It's like 5 years. It's like, I'm embarrassed to
I'm
bring
embarrassed
people over.
Every time we have
just
people over.
You're just going to kill them.
Oh,
yeah, but it's not the point.
how did they, was it on the special features of the Blu-ray, how they did the transformations into the bat?
I did not see that stunt or that effect. I will say I have not seen all of the features on the Blu-ray so far. I watched many of them. Hey, I was happy I saw how the backpack one was done. I was really happy with that.
That is one of the best ones, I will say.
Yeah, because it's unexpected, and I
yes.
have not seen that before in a film. Something like that, which I think is almost a trademark of Taika Waititi, like kind of doing those unexpected things in humorous ways.
Yeah.
Like when Hulk jumps out of the Quinjet and he doesn't, or Banner jumps out of the jet in Thor Ragnarok and he doesn't transform, he just smacks on the ground and everybody thinks he's dead.
Yeah.
Yep.
So clever.
All right. So this film, I think it's going to be a shorter podcast. It's because we
enjoyed it so much.
And, you know,
I'm not going to tear it apart at all. Yeah,
there's no
depth. I mean, can you? If we took a moment and just tried to think of anything. Like, so I started to have a complaint, and then they solved it by making the character awesome.
And I will say, like, the TV show that came out. So this, it makes sense, like, the central characters. So this, they're all friends. They grew up together. Some of them grew up together, and they did it. The TV show, one of the flatmates is a female.
Oh, cool.
So they did, you know, they covered that aspect.
I will say, actually, okay, one complaint was, as far as the main cast is concerned, I would have been a little more curious to have a female vampire present a little sooner. I appreciate that Jackie became one, because that was amazing to see, like, Nick changed her against Deacon's wishes, and yep. That there was already that rivalry between Deacon and Nick to begin with.
And then there's also the Beast. Yeah.
The Beast.
Elena Stanko. The Beast. Yeah. She was great. She was wonderful. Ugh. What a beauty,
and to me that kind of makes sense. Like if you have a group together making films, you know, expanding out with like the police officers for the Wellington Paranormal, and yes. Then the TV show What We Do in the Show, like a female is cast in a major role in both of those. So
I liked how the intro credits were their histories.
Mm-hmm. That yes. really through that was time. Genius.
And like showing when they did talk about the masquerade, showing like all the different decades that they were there, and like what clothes that, like the one in the 80s, they were all decked down yes. in like 80s vaporware aesthetic stuff and
wasn't
blood
there one
all
year
over them.
Where their costumes didn't quite hit home, or they didn't land well. Sorry, if you can't remember off the top of your head, don't worry about it. But I have a sense of, like, oh, 1 year we were this.
There was when he tried dressing up as Blade.
Oh, yes, because he's a vampire hunter.
You can't dress up as Blade. He's a vampire hunter. But vampires love Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
That's offensive.
But I thank you for bringing that up, Chad, about the introduction, because I really thought that was clever. And that, I recall, that was one of my first notes on my notepad that I sadly couldn't find before coming in here. Thank you for sharing all those gifts in our message board. Because
our group chat, yeah.
Yeah, our group chat really helped reinvigorate those memories and that excitement.
So I'll just agree. I think that this is a film everyone should watch. If you're a filmmaker, not a filmmaker, if you like comedy, this is a definite film to watch. Even after listening
horror,
to this,
horror film fans will love this too.
Yeah, we're not ruining anything by all this, because the way they pull off everything is just perfect.
Yeah, it's a good remix on the genre, and it's a good because like I feel with mockumentaries, like everybody. It's one of those things where everybody thinks they can make a mockumentary and they never really turn out right. It really takes a good, you know, cast, but also a director who can help guide them.
Someone with a clear vision and knows exactly how they do things and what they want to do, and to stay consistent within their own, like, presentation of their art.
Yeah.
Now, part of me is like, I wonder if we should do a study by watching Dracula Dead and Loving It. But I don't want to watch that.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
No, late Mel Brooks. I'm sorry. Just
yeah.
Anyway.
Leslie Nielsen.
Elaborating a little more to the person who's not quite sure what that is.
Dracula Dead and Loving It was a late...
It's awful.
It was Leslie Nielsen was in it. It was one of the last films that... Mel Brooks put out.
Leslie Nielsen.
And okay. Leslie Nielsen did. And it was, you know, just a parody of Dracula films, vampire films. But in the 90s, maybe?
Taika's already proved I love vampire parodies, so bring them on.
Well,
you're not going to like this one.
Well, I'm gonna watch it, and then I'll probably then agree because I trust you guys for the most part. But
I would say watch the television show. Find that there's one season that's been out on FXX, and they are renewed for season two.
Okay.
So I was and Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement are both involved with the TV show as well.
Yeah, they're producers.
They've also been in a couple episodes, and Taika Waititi directed like three or four of them.
Calm down.
He directed episode 8 of The Mandalorian, research here.
He was also a character.
You guys. I haven't gotten up there yet.
He's also a character.
I still have to finish episode 1.
Oh, that's the only one I've finished. Not to make this a Mandalorian podcast.
Yeah, that's our other podcast.
Yes.
All right. Any other last thoughts on this film before we wrap up?
It should...
I know we talked about doing a list at the end of this.
I think we'll do like a top 10 list.
I'm not going to do a top 100.
No.
But.
No, we're not going to renumber all these and say. We'll do a top 10 list. We'll do our top 5 when we hit 50. And then we'll do a top 10 when we hit 100.
This is definitely in my top 10. Hands down. And if I forget to put it in my top 10... I hope future Chad, you know,
remembers
gets
this?
Hit by a...
Oh, yeah, if you forget, no, future like... Candace will let you know, because deserves to be up there.
Awesome.
I have my last thing to say.
Yes, Candace.
There's a lot of stuff on the floor down here, Peter, and, this seems... it's a spinal cord. Yuck. And I was thinking maybe I just should bring a broom down here for you if you wanted to sweep up some of the skeletons.
The passive aggressive.
Okay, we're just going to close this. Okay. I love that. Ah, Peter. Peter.
And then I was wondering why he was bringing a chicken down in the beginning.
Well, I brought you a chicken. I'm just going to stick this down here and close your... Okay. Okay, see you. What a great character.
Is Peter coming to the meeting? Peter is...
A thousand years old.
He will not be joining us.
Just in honor of Peter. May you RIP.
Our next film. I think we'll have a little bit more to talk about with this next film. Number 61, Team America World.
America.
Fuck yeah.
Sorry.
Directed by Trey Parker, came out in 2004.
Now, I'm looking forward to this because the last time I watched it, as a young wee lass, I did not care for this movie. So now that I'm not a young wee lass and I'm an older lass, I'm curious to think what my brain considers of this film.
being a guy that grew up, my formative years were post 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, this movie... Plus, I always loved South Park. I love Trey Parker and Matt Stone and everything that they do. Mm-hmm. And they're not afraid to take risks, and they've earned that right. And I just feel like this movie was, not to get too much into it, but they swore they would never do a puppet movie ever again in their life.
Oh, like, and don't we understand why?
Exactly.
Excuse me. Oh my, I got a little something in my throat. Oh. Sorry, my roommate came in the room for a moment, and she's always wanted to be on the podcast, so I let her jump on the mic for a moment.
Oh, well, that's nice of you.
Team America, as far as, like, parodies of action movies and, like, what America is to most of the world, or what it seems like it is to most of the world, it's brought to light in this movie in a very fun way.
All right.
Plus, we get to make fun of Kim Jong-il.
Oh, yeah.
Always a good thing. Well, he's dead now, so... It happens.
Good riddance.
All right, well, thank you. This is a good show, and again, a good movie. Highly recommend. Also... I should have said this before.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I forgot. our newest sponsor, Paper Shredders. I had to read this plug from them. When you need to get rid of something, you need to shred it. Paper shredders.
Shred it.
Shred it and forget it.
So I just want to thank. And what's great is with the shredded paper, it makes great bedding for gerbils or hamsters or, you know, any little creatures like that. Great bedding.
Yeah. Or if you don't let your significant other sleep in the bed with you, you can sprinkle it all on the ground, put a little pillow on it.
And yeah, or you pack it in some sheets or whatever. It makes a nice bed. It's better than straw. It's not as pointy as straw, so it's nice.
Well, and if you think the NSA is following you and reading everything, it's a good way to give them something to do while they go through your garbage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, Candace, you can shred paper in a couple of different ways. You can do the old strips, but they do the crosscut now as well.
Were you aware of that? I actually wasn't. Can you eat it on pasta?
You could.
But you wouldn't
enjoy it. Will it make zucchini noodles?
It doesn't do that, but it does make confetti. So, if you have, a party coming up. Yeah. I know we just had New Year's and all that, but we got some, Valentine's Day coming up, and who doesn't like a confetti bomb on Valentine's Day?
Actually, I'm curious. Does it have various size options? Because I'd like to get it down to glitter level for my enemies. In particular,
well, it doesn't, Candace.
These
questions. This is not good for our sponsor.
It's fine. It can still have fun with it,
because the problem with glitter is it's so small that people kind of lose it in the wind anyway. With this,
and it gets in their eyes, and then they're blinded for when you come up behind them with your rapier. What I'm talking about.
big thanks to the Paper Shredder Company for sponsoring this week's show. And like I said, next week is Team America World Police. If you'd like to sponsor our show, please feel free to contact me directly.
Or send us free shit.
Don't send us glitter in the mail.
The glitter industry is not gonna ask us to sponsor them now, Candace. You talked about using it to kill people with.
Well, I mean, the point is that people would still purchase it in order to do that. So that's still advertising and marketing.
They've been trying to get away from them all the murder rumors for years now. So it's not.
Company doesn't want Nazis representing their product either.
Well, that's understandable.
Yeah. So they're not going to sponsor us now. But here's hoping that some other sponsors will see the benefits of that. Finally, Lord loves a working man. Don't trust Whitey. See a doctor and get rid of it. Thank you, everybody.
Later.
Bye.
The Filmological Society is a production of Redacted Media in association with Ghost Hat Media. For more information, find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Or visit us at www.ghosthead.net.